Welcome into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Matty Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And over there on Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Matt, I hate to start off with hot takes like this. But the reality is the team was coached better last season. I think Sean Miller is going to be a better coach, but good Lord, it's been hard to watch. And now we're going up against Rick Barnes, and it's just going to make Texas fans sad again tonight, Matt.
Well, I don't know. Is Tennessee good? I haven't been paying attention. Tennessee, they're better than Texas. I can tell you that without looking at their record or their players or anything like that. Rick Barnes is a hell of a coach. I believe him to be a hell of a coach, and I wish he never would have left, quite honestly. It was probably time to move on when he did, and I understand the reasons for him wanting to do so, but isn't it a new new powers that be? Why don't you come back, Rick Barnes? Save this team from itself.
look, I was covering Texas stuff then too, and Rick Barnes wasn't recruiting in the way he needed to, and at a certain point. And look, being at Texas for basketball is really, really hard. And I'll start off by saying that I don't think Sean Miller had any clue what Texas basketball was. And hopefully he figures it out, and then next year things will start to turn in the right direction. I'm not selling out on Sean Miller. There's a lot of very smart people at Texas who wanted him to come in. A lot of people cover the game who like what he does. I'm not saying that I'm this genius who's figured it all out in 12 games and he shouldn't be able to play coach Texas anymore. Not saying that. I am saying I think he came in expecting to be able to recruit easier than Xavier, and then realized it wasn't really that much easier to recruit here than it was at Xavier. That it's like you are Texas and there's a little bit more money, but now people expect it to be so much more that it becomes a different thing. And now everybody wants you to get 5-star recruits, and you didn't have to at Xavier. And it's just a way different ball game. It's not Arizona, because Arizona, there's a lot of guys that still stay around that program. And there is a glory days of Arizona basketball that there just isn't really at Texas. We had our glory days, but not in the national spotlight as much. So it's just a really, really difficult program to build up. And I don't know if Sean Miller was ready to come in and build a program from scratch. And that was the difference, is he came in thinking he could just pick up and do better. And he hasn't done that. So unless he wants to, he just needs to change his thinking going in to be, and stop complaining about this roster. Stop it. Stop it. I don't care if he was by 59. Stop.
Well, here's what I'll say about the people who are already calling for his job. Yeah. It's year one. Mm-hmm. People were saying the same thing about Steve Sarkisian when he went 5-7.
I agree. I'm not calling for his job.
I'm not saying, I've seen it in the chat, not from you, Patrick. So I'm just saying, just maybe he's not the guy, but maybe he just needs some time to get the right players on the roster. I'm not sure Chris Beard was the guy. Eventually that was a powder keg that was going to burst, Randy. So,
and there was a lot of things in the Chris Beard. We never really got to see it fully play out. I know there was things that were positive in the beginning and things that were negative in the beginning. Hair of the Dogs is messing with us now. I think there's a lot that goes into it, more than just year one and walking in. But the reality is, I really don't think he had any clue of what he was walking into. And they did not set him up for that. There isn't the infrastructure in Texas basketball to give somebody that heads up. And you don't want to tell someone before they take the job, and it's kind of hard to break them in and go, hey, by the way, it wasn't just Rodney Terry. There's other issues that are deep-seated. There's a reason why Rick Barnes had troubles winning here. But look, Rick Barnes is still not winning national titles at Tennessee. He's just consistently putting them back in the top 25, and we've fallen out of that. He needs to get us back into that, and then we can discuss where we go from Sean Miller. If he can't get us back into being a top 25 team regularly, then next year, then it is, all right, you don't belong here. You don't fit in. It's just not for you. Not a bad coach, just not everybody fits in everywhere. But that's a year away. We're a year and a half away. So it is what it is. But, yeah, no, it makes me frustrated because – I don't like watching it when Texas puts out a really bad product on the court and it doesn't seem to be really getting better. Now, there were signs early. Tremont Mark started to get better, and then you could tell that Tremont Mark started to figure out the offense. He went, okay. And Dalen Swain had his best game of the year, and he got fouled out, but he had his best game of the year. But you just want to see the progress continue, at least like how Texas football did, Matt, with that. Even though they started off not being the team they needed to be, by the end of the season, you saw a much better Texas team. Mm-hmm. They still weren't a national championship team, but they were much better. And with Texas basketball, I'm like, you're not going to be a, you know, Sweet 16 team by any stretch of the imagination by the end of the season, but you could be a team that were like, okay, they're around the bubble. They win six, seven more games near the end of the season and start to pull better. But if they don't, then it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. And Randy, I
get that, Brent. Randy, he 100%. Chris Beard totally got the program back on track in every other way than necessarily on the court. And if they would have found the right offensive mind to put with him, then there's a possibility it could have worked. But his complete lack of caring about the offensive side of the basketball was going to be his undoing until they figured that out. That's the basic premise. All he cared about was defense. He didn't care. Like, he would kill offenses so fast. So there was a reason. And at Tech, he had that. Tech, he also hit the transfer portal situation way faster than everybody else did. He was ahead of that curve. That curve had caught up to him at Texas. And so there was peace there. And CB, he did. He did have to be fired. I was there that night sitting with Craig Way and Eddie, and we were sitting there when everybody walked out of the tunnel, and it was like, no, it's not happening. So I get all that. I'm just talking basketball sense of in the what if world of Chris Beard, the what if world of it was he was a really, really good defensive coach. But his offenses would be super, super under assuming and under, like, he would take guys out. They would hit two threes in a row and then he'd go, it doesn't matter. We have a defensive rotation. They pull him out of the game and our offense would suck for the next 8 minutes because you pulled out a hot hand. So stuff like that of just coaching to a system, not coaching, but with feel, I think is always going to kind of hurt you in the grand scheme of things. So that was always my problem. He could have grown with it though. So there is always a what if. Does he grow with it? Does he figure it out? Does he get the right assistant? But I still think it was several years away from actually being a like contender team.
I didn't like Chris Beard. I thought he was a good defensive coach. He's the Ole Miss coach now, and I don't like him. There's just something that's always rubbed me the wrong way about him. Some of the stuff that happened obviously played a role in that, but also, you know, I thought he was a good fit. I thought him and Sark coming in around the same time was pretty cool. You know, Texas Longhorns on SI actually broke the story that he was being hired by Texas, funny enough, when that happened back in the day. But regardless, it's fine. Move on. We're with Sean Miller now. And Sean Miller is the guy that's going to have the reins for the next couple years. And if that doesn't end up working out, then they'll move on to somebody else, probably, you know, another mid-tier coach. I think Sean Miller's our best chance for success right now. I don't know what it would look like after him. So kind of in the same way that Patrick and I were talking about before they fired Rodney Terry, you better have the right guy lined up. Mm-hmm. Before you fire him, just firing him for firing him's sake is going to get you nowhere. So in the same situation later down the line that Sean Miller maybe doesn't work out, which I still think he will.
I'm hoping.
You better have the right guy lined up before you just jump and move on. Like some of the college football programs are doing now.
No, and I think that transitions into the portal and where with Texas football right now and where Texas football is at because – you know, you are looking at it and saying, you know, I've always get a little annoyed at some of the rhetoric by just some fans, some, you know, people who work for different sites, but people who cover the teams, that a player is great when they play for Texas and they're great when they're coming here. And then when they're not coming here, they're no longer great. And I've always been during this cycle and during the transfer portal and through everything else, I'm all optimism and let's go fix the team, but let's be real about it now. Let's be real about it now because we can't be real about it once the season starts. Once the season starts, our roster is our roster, right? There's no, we can't change it anymore. So I tend to be more that. And then I see so many other people who will get on board and they'll pretend that this is the era that we should proclaim national championships because we got this guy signed and this guy's off our roster now. And he was a cancer. And now we got this guy. So we're going to be great. And then as soon as the season starts and the guy drops a pass, you're like, oh, what a bum. And you're like, wait a minute. You told me he was going to be great six months ago. So I think all of those pieces in it, like in the transfer portal, and I'll answer some of this. Yeah, Texas winning the national title and Texas Tech was because they hit the transfer portal at the right time. Chris Beard was ahead of the trend. And once he did it, everyone caught up. So at Texas, it was just way harder. Texas Tech has not gotten close to that since they got ahead of the trend. But it was being about ahead of the trend, which I'll give Chris Beard much credit for. He was ahead of the trend. And Trey Johnson, while we can say was wasted at Texas, also would have never come if not for Ronnie Terry. So him and Ronnie Terry were a package. He only came here because of Ronnie Terry. He did not want to go to Texas. He wanted to go to Baylor. But he was good. He came to Texas because of Ronnie Terry. So that also fits in that if you still had Chris Beard, and also he would never have played for Chris Beard. Not in a million years. Because Chris Beard doesn't care about offense. So he would never have played for him. But we got breaking news.
It's NFL news, but it's pretty big.
Okay.
John Harbaugh was just fired by the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. We'll get into that in a minute too, then, because that's not wildly surprising, but it does somewhat fall into our overreactions later because I told you there's an overreaction. So we may talk about it then, but that is surprising news that John Harbaugh, somewhat surprising, not wildly surprising. There's always a firing every year in the NFL that's like that. And yeah, CB, they've wasted a lot, but there's a lot of teams who have just not been able to put it together. College basketball is a weird game. Right now, also Duke is just owning like so much of getting the young recruits right now. So it's nuts right now of what Duke is doing. But let's go back into talking about the transfer portal. We'll get back to Texas basketball a little bit later. We'll get into the Harbaugh news a little bit later in the show, but we always want to try and stay Texas football to start off the show, and I won't rant and rave anymore about Texas basketball for a little bit. I'll do it later. but talking about the transfer portal and the news that comes out, and Matt, we did get more news today that the name that everyone had kind of been assuming was penciled in for Texas and was the guy that you hired Jabbar Jalouk and, you know, you put together the package and you let Trey Weisner and CJ Baxter walk, you do all of that. Everyone assumes Jaden Ball is the number one target coming to Texas. He earlier today says, I am staying at Florida. Good for Florida. They get to stay where he's at. He is no longer entering the portal. And that takes a big name off the board for Texas now in one of the positions that is a major need for Texas for next season. Mm-hmm. And so they are now in a position that they are now having to look, trying to find who the next running back for Texas is going to be. And Matt, they've made a push for a guy who I believe is visiting now or visiting tomorrow. Is he visiting now?
Relique Brown?
Yeah.
I believe he's visiting today. Sorry. Jabbar Jalouk was going to visit him first, and then he was coming to Austin.
Okay.
And then after that, he's supposed to figure out whether or not he's going to take a visit to Alabama, but Alabama just got a commitment from Hollywood Smothers from NC State. So considering there are very similar type backs, that would seem a little bit redundant to me. I think it's safe to say that Texas is in the driver's seat right now for Relique Brown, who also visited Indiana. That should be mentioned, but I think they're in really good position with him. And there's other running backs out there. Like I was all in on Jaden Ball too. There was a scenario in which Texas was probably saying to themselves, we can get Jaden Ball and we can get Isaac Brown. Yep. Hell yeah. But just because that's not going to happen anymore doesn't mean that it's going to be a total loss of the position. I think Relique Brown is a very easy replacement for the Isaac Brown hopes. Very similar type backs. Relique Brown, he's very similar to what Jaden Blue would have been for Texas. Very fast home run hitter type guy, except there's a little bit of a difference. He doesn't fumble the ball nearly as much. So that's really nice. Very, very dynamic guy. And then there's a couple other running backs I can get into in a little bit too, but there's still plenty of options out there. Probably some who haven't entered the portal yet. People are still pouring into the portal as we go on. So yeah, it's a big hit. It sucks. We all wanted Jaden Ball, but it's time to move on.
No, I agree. You have to keep moving on. The Relique Brown signing, you know, or the interest in Relique Brown, I do think he is an interesting back to bring in, but he is definitely not, in my opinion. He's got more news happening.
Sorry. One of the running backs that I was going to talk about just committed somewhere, so shit.
There we go. Now Matt's out on it. Relique Brown, though, he's an interesting back. But he's also not an answer to any of your real problems of what you had at running back last year. He is not a make your own way kind of back. In some of the games where you look against Texas Tech, it was a really good defense this season. He had 19 carries for 69 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. So not necessarily what you needed out of what you're really looking for, what you didn't have last year. So he is a really good addition, a good piece, but he doesn't necessarily up what you had already this season of some guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield, maybe break you a big play. He's probably a better big play threat than Trey Wisner is, but not necessarily as good as in between the tackle runner in some big moments. He did it really, really well against non-cons for Arizona State this year. Had 100 yards, 110 yards against Mississippi State, had 144 yards against Texas State. Had a huge game against Colorado with 255 yards. So he's had some big games, but I don't know if he's necessarily, he's definitely not an every down back for you.
No, I don't think he's a number one back necessarily. He's, like I said, he's what Jaden Blue was for this team.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, you need both types. You needed to bring in two running backs regardless. I feel like, you needed a home run guy and you needed a kind of a heavy hitter type guy. And there's a few things to point out here about Relique Brown that I think are really important in terms of how he compares favorably to Jaden Blue. Sorry. They're both super fast. They're both very quick. They both have game breaking speed. They're both very difficult to tackle in a phone booth. They're great out of the backfield as receiving threats. They both excel in the outside zone runs, which Texas runs a ton, or they'd like to run a ton next year as well. Obviously, you know, like I said, Brown doesn't fumble the ball nearly as much. He only fumbled twice this year, once in week four, once in week 13. Blue fumbled five times in 2024, including twice in one game against Mississippi State. So that's something to consider. But also the home run ability, I get, you know, people talk about the Big 12 and they're like, oh, it's not SEC defenses and blah, 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 blah. And we do that sometimes too.
Yeah.
But he had 31 carries of 10 plus yards in 2025. And Jaden Blue, who we considered this explosive, game-breaking, do-it-all back, had far less. He only had 13. In 2024, whereas Brown only had 50 more rushing attempts. This other stat that I really like a lot that I found on PFF, breakaway percentage, which is the percentage of rushing yards on design attempts that go for more than 15 yards. Blue had 39.6% of his carries go as breakaway runs. Brown's was just a shade under 46%. So he was much more explosive, able to get away from people. He's a little bit stronger, I think, a little bit more physical of a runner than Jaden Blue was, but the comp is still there. Obviously, that's a really important piece to add to your running back room because you don't have that.
Yeah.
And that's really important to think about.
No, I agree. I think he'd be a really good addition for this Texas football team because you do look at some of the guys you have as well that you're hoping to step up, but you just don't really know what they're going to be yet in Christian Clark and Cooper. And Cooper, I think Cooper is going to be a really good back. I don't trust true freshmen to be critical parts of championship teams. It's a lot to ask. So every once in a while, you get a guy who is going to be part of that. but it's really just a ton to ask of a true freshman to be a critical part of a championship team. You'll be good. Do all those things. So it's just, I don't expect to put that on him his freshman season while he gets to learn the game a little bit better. And as Texas goes, you know, you have to now look around at what running backs are in the portal, which ones may be entering the portal. We know that Kewin Lacy, who had a great season for Ole Miss, has now said he will not be entering the portal as well. And it's, you know, and it's time that Texas is going to have to figure out what other targets they have been looking at, because right now there's you feel like, This is what I was looking at today, man, was looking at Texas. I was going, why am I not as confident as Matt in what they're going to do in the portal? Why am I not? What's setting me off in this? And I realize what it is, and I don't like it. And I hope that they finish out this offseason to make what I'm about to say completely asinine. But as of right now, the reason why I feel like I feel about Texas football is because right now they are running the Dallas Cowboys playbook. And that is why I do not have faith in it right now.
Explain.
The Dallas Cowboys playbook is have a season that went under what you assumed it would be, which is what Texas did not make the playoffs, underachieve of what you thought. Then come out and say, guys, we know what's up. We're going to change a coach. We're going to go all in. And then you start to let some of your players walk that are people really like. You start to let them walk. And I'm not saying, you know, just saying, you let some of your players walk and you go, okay. And they go, no, couldn't afford to keep them. Not saying Texas is wrong, but that's what they do. Dallas does this. Then the Cowboys go out and they go, well, we couldn't get that guy. It's too much money. Guys, we can't get that guy. That would ruin it. That's not how you run a good franchise. And you go, but didn't you just say you were all in? Didn't you say you were going to do this? And now you're not doing that. You're coming back and you want to just lie to our faces and tell us that you're going to change and you're going to be the same guy. But now you're somehow letting some other guys go and just replacing them. And you start to get in the cycle of new instead of better. And it's this Cowboys cycle. I don't think the Texas Longhorns are going to do that, Matt, but the playbook has been the same so far. So I need to see the playbook change for Texas in this portal where they start to go out and land some of these guys. Because right now, we are a much worse team than we were last season, talent-wise.
See, I don't know that I agree with
that. It's early. We will get more players. But as of right now, we are a much worse team because we've lost many players and not replaced them. Just defensively, we are gutted like so far.
Well, I mean, you're gutted because you lost Anthony Hill and Michael Taff.
And Manny Muhammad and Ethan Burr.
Manny Muhammad. Okay, Jalen Gilbo was a net negative. Not a big deal. Ethan Burke, yeah, big loss. You got Lance Jackson, you're going to be okay. I agree with you that they haven't landed the players right off the bat that everybody expected. Because going into this thing, everybody was like, oh, we're going to get Jaden Ball, we're going to get Isaac Brown, we're going to get Cam Coleman, we're going to get this guy, we're going to get that guy. And it's just, I think that it's still a situation like, let's just see how it plays out. I don't think that they're not taking an all-in approach. I just don't think that they want to pay their number one or number four wide receiver, Parker Livingstone, almost $1 million.
I'm not even talking about Parker Livingstone. I get that I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Trey Wisner and DeAndre Moore.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to replace DeAndre Moore.
Again, DeAndre Moore, sure. I think that he... probably part of that decision was his own because he wants to be a number one wide receiver and he's never going to be a number one wide receiver at Texas. I think people are overrating Trey Wisner to a massive extent because of the way that he played in rivalry games. Okay. He's not the most physically gifted running back in the world. Yes, he's a great leader. He's a great teammate. We all loved him for what he did against Texas A&M, against Oklahoma, and against, you know, some of these other games where he showed up. But that doesn't mean that by bringing in Relique Brown, for example, which they haven't done yet, but it looks like they're going to do, hopefully, that he's not going to be a better player than Trey Wisner. C.J. Baxter was not the same player that he was pre-injury. You could bring in Caden Durham from LSU, and that would be an upgrade on C.J. Baxter. I know that for a fact they're on the road right now going and talking to a couple of offensive linemen from Michigan. They're in the conversation for Jacarius Peak from NC State, which probably hinges on what happens with these Michigan offensive linemen to a certain extent. They made an upgrade at defensive tackle, and I think that they're going to make a couple upgrades at linebacker. I still think that all these players are going to get there. It may not be the exact same blueprint that we thought it was going to be coming into the transfer portal, and things rarely are. But at the end of the day, I think that they have their plan, and they're going to stick to their plan, and it's going to end up being fine. Even if Cam Coleman ends up at Alabama or Texas Tech, which I would hate because I think he's the best wide receiver in the portal by a mile. But if they don't win him, or if they don't win with him, then they'll find somebody else, and maybe it won't be as exciting and all that stuff, but they will find a way to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, look, and again, Cam Coleman's not my sticking point on any of this because I'd love to have Cam Coleman, but again, I don't – like, we got Ryan Wingo. I hope he plays better this season. I know he dropped too many balls this year. He needs to play better. I think there's going to be other – there's other wide receivers in that portal and a lot of guys you can go get. You got a lot of young talent there. The running back one to me is a big one. I just disagree with you. I think Trey Wisner was a better player. I thought he was not used well this year. But I think Trey Wisner was a good player. And I think he's a much better player than Relique Brown is, just from watching Relique Brown. I didn't watch his whole season. I watched a lot of his highlights, and all of his really good plays were against bad teams. And so overall, and this is watching highlights. So it's not a great, like, not a scouting report or anything. But I watched a lot of what he did, and I agree with you. He fits into the boutique back category, which is great if we had other backs. But I'm saying, am I going to rely on Christian Clark to be our every down back next year or a true freshman? Because right now, that's what it is. I think we're going to go out and get some other guys. But I want to know, Matt, what are the other names that I'm supposed to be going out and doing a bunch of research on that I think are, man, these are serious big upgrades? I think Caden Durham's an interesting one. Caden Durham has to go into the world of, we have to fix other pieces because clearly he couldn't get it done at LSU too, but he just wasn't getting the ball a ton. They were constantly behind and throwing the football. So it's kind of skewed. He did have some decent games of yards per carry, even though he only got like 5 or 6 carries in it. So stuff like that, you look at and go, okay, his overall numbers weren't great, but he gets there. So it's an interesting name, but again, you know, we haven't secured that yet. And Matt, I'm not trying to be sensational or anything else, sensationalize this and make it to be like, oh man, Texas is not going to get anybody and we're going to be a worse team next year. I'm not trying to say it, because I think there is a lot of things still happening. But the process of where it has been going, where we're starting to see some of the names that when we were basically told by a lot of sources, don't worry. And we're on plan C and D now, because plan A and plan B have already fallen through. Those are where you go, okay, but what plan are we landing on where I can feel confident that what you guys thought was going to happen is going to happen? Or did you misjudge the portal completely and think you had some things lined up that you just didn't? And if you'd have that, you have to fix those again, because every year you can't be going in and losing out on a lot of different players because they're using you. Like, once you become a leverage for you, for people to get more from their own school and not getting the players, it's a really bad sign, because it's not getting the players in. They're going to get good players, but I just need to see a little bit more action on it. So I know we have to wait.
I get that. And this stuff rarely goes, when you get to the portal, money starts getting thrown around, and this stuff rarely goes the way that it's supposed to go in your brain when you enter the window. I think that there's a lot of teams who are just throwing money around, hoping that shit sticks to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like a Texas Tech, for example, throws $5 million at a quarterback who was okay in the Big 12 last year. He was good. He was fine. They weren't that great of a team. They were okay. And they're basically banking their entire season next year on him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that you don't want to do. You can look at a couple of running backs. You mentioned Caden Durham, who I've talked about before. Mekhi Frazier from Michigan State. There's probably still running backs in the portal who have yet to enter that will be of interest to Texas, I would imagine. There's a lot of defensive guys that they're still very in on that I think, you know, you're going to start to hear some good news about. Defensive lineman from LSU, Zion Williams, really big, really physical, really athletic guy. Good player. Cade Uolave from California, one of the best linebackers in the ACC, just entered the portal. Texas will be in on him. Guys like that, Bo Masco, who's visiting Texas, really good corner out of Rutgers. He's visiting Ohio State as well. So, I mean, if he's visiting Texas and Ohio State, you should probably feel good about him because they usually recruit pretty good players. Texas probably has an in on him because of Mark Orfe. So, there's still a lot to be done. Look, nobody is more devastated than me right now that Jaden Baugh decided to re-sign with Florida because I had 5 stories written about Jaden Baugh for Texas Longhorns on SI as early as 2 weeks ago, as soon as Chip said that he was probably going to hit the portal. Yeah. I don't think that Chip was wrong either. I think at that time that was the consensus, and then Florida probably came in with a huge offer and got him to change his mind. That kind of stuff happens all the time. Yeah, the Wisconsin linebacker, Allegro, another really good player, very big, very athletic linebacker from the Big Ten who's visited Texas and is visiting Ohio State. Like, there's battles that go on with this. It's not just – this is what I want a lot of people to understand about the transfer portal. It's not just, okay, we're Texas, we're going to pick every single player that we want, we're going to bring them in, and if we don't get every single player in the transfer portal that we think is good, it's a failure. You get players that fit your system, that have the physical traits that you want, that have the production that you want, and you still have to battle teams like Ohio State, Alabama, Florida, all these different teams for those players. Texas A&M, another team that's throwing a lot of money around. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as just like, oh, well, we didn't put enough money into this guy, so we didn't get him. It's maybe there is a better fit for him at this school, or he sees a better path to stardom or better fit in the offense or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different stuff that goes on, and I really think that Texas is going to find the right guys. I still really do. And if it comes to 10 days from now and it's January 16th and I have to eat crow, then I will grill it up on my skillet out there and I will eat it live on camera. But I'm still very confident.
Here's the thing though, Matt. I'm not talking about eating crow on the 16th. I mean, I'm talking about eating crow in the middle of next season when we go, hey, this guy that was new, who isn't necessarily doing the big thing because he was just new and shiny to us, and he's not an upgrade. He's just another dude. Like, I think we've seen guys, they've done well in the past of getting some guys who are upgrades, and they've hit on some of them and you miss on some of them. It is part of the transfer portal. You hit and you miss. Like, you're going out and you're trying to figure out, this guy played another conference, how is he going to be able to come together with it? Or, you know, this guy's coming up from group of six and we think he's got a ton of talent. Can he play at our level? And then you get some other guys, you know, why is this guy not playing on LSU? Why is this guy not succeeding at a big school? You have to go around and try and figure those out. The issue was Texas needed to upgrade their roster. This is what we all know going in. The roster offensively and defensively wasn't quite where, offensively it was not where it needed to be. And defensively, you just lost a lot of players to the draft. So you have to restock on the defense. Get Will Muschamp what he needs. And offensively, you have to be able to run the football consistently. And until I believe they will be able to do that, I am going to be very cautious about doing anything in this. Because my problem, what you were just saying, Matt, is true. And this is why I got worried about trying to go out and win in the portal. Is we are not the only team in the portal who knows you have to be able to run the football to win. I mean, Oklahoma right now is trying to figure out how to run the football to win. Alabama trying to figure out how to run the football to win. Hell, Georgia's still trying to get better at running the football. They had a down year running the football. These are major programs who are trying to compete with us. Texas A&M, you know, they go, we ran okay, but guys got hurt. We got to restock at the running back in the offensive line position. It's just hard to go in there. So, as we see, look, and I don't want to promote tampering, but there will be much more tampering as the top running backs get picked up. The number is going to go up for some of these other guys. because when you miss out on who you need and it's not there, the number, I'm not saying for Texas, I'm saying for everybody. I'm saying for everybody. It's not a general Texas thing. This is, there's again, 30, 40 teams right now looking for a new power running back who can pick him up 4 yards a carry. And so once those guys are all out of the portal, you start asking other guys to go get them. Like, it just is what it is. It's what college football is right now. So right now it is a tough road of, I'm with you. You have to be patient. You have to try and do things the right way. You're trying to get in the right fits as well. You don't want to bring in a cancer in your locker room. You've had those before. You've had guys that you thought were going to be a guy that you brought in. And I mean, I don't want to talk bad about the guy, but Jontae Cook was a guy that you brought in to help you get a pipeline to Duncanville and in Dallas, and you're trying to bring him in, and you thought, man, he's going to help us get Arch, and he's going to help us get all these things with Jontae Cook. And then his attitude didn't necessarily fit into what Sark wanted to do. And it ended up that he had to end up having a mid-season exit from the Texas football program. That happens. So you're trying, I'm with you, Matt. You don't want to just go out and go, best guy, go get him. There, he's ranked a five-star, go get him. So there are guys you have to go look at. But for me, that running back position is a big one. I was higher on Trey Wisner than you were, clearly. And I know he's not the answer. I wanted a supplementary back with him. And I think Relik Brown is a good supplementary back. But I would like Trey Wisner, Relik Brown, and a third guy. Like, and so who's going to be that? I'm fine having a boutique back, but that's like we had Keelan Robinson alongside Bijan and Roshan. That was good. Power guy. We had a guy who could do it all, and we had our boutique guy in Jaden and Keelan Robinson, or we had Jaden Blue. We had some of those guys. I'm all for that to really get your running back room going. I'm not fully sold on it right now, and I won't be until it's done, and it worries me a little bit. My confidence is still there. Still think Texas is going to get it done, but that was my worry of trying to play the portal more than you had in years past. Is it's a tough game. It's tough.
Hold on. I'm just Texas A&M gets another commitment. Another guy that I have never heard of, and you will probably never hear of because he's a G5 guy. So let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm not yelling at you, Patrick. I'm yelling at the general Texas fan who's frustrated right now. Do we want to just go out and sign a bunch of G5 guys that? You know, that played pretty well at Tulsa and San Diego State and Jacksonville State and all that stuff. I mean, they've signed some Power Four guys, but they've also signed a bunch of G5 guys as well. Or do we want to be patient and get the right players? Do we want to be Oklahoma and be like, ooh, Jaden Knott's a big shiny name. Let's go get him. And then he does absolutely dog shit when he gets to our school. No, we don't. And I'll say this too. If Texas signs Relik Brown, which I'm hoping that they do, clearly, because I think he's a really good player, I would argue, and maybe this is a hot take to some, I would argue that Texas's running back room is already better than it was before than it was last season with Trey Wisner in a shell of himself, CJ Baxter. So that's something to think about. And then you bring in another guy that can be your third guy, and you can have Relik Brown and Christian Clark and this other guy who hopefully is a power back, and that gives you the guy that can do it all with Christian Clark, the boutique back with Relik Brown, and the power guy with whoever it ends up being. I wanted it to be Adam Muhammad from Washington after Jaden Ball re-signed with Florida. He just committed to Cal, so, you know, screw me. Derek Cooper is also going to be a really good player. I also am like you. I don't want to, you know, bet the house on a freshman running back being able to come in and carry your football team. It's happened very rarely over the past couple decades. Like, you talk about like Willis McGahee, Maurice Claret.
Yeah.
Probably Bijan Robinson if Tom Herman had played him more.
but there was a lot of reasons that wasn't a national championship team already. So,
well, yes, but the point being,
yes.
You need to go out and find another guy, and they will go out and find another guy. They want to. I know everybody's also freaking out about the offensive line thing. I think that's going to be taken care of here pretty soon, hopefully by the time we get on tomorrow, so I don't have anything to yell about, we can celebrate the transfer portal.
I'm waiting for that day too, man. I'm waiting for that day too.
Yeah, it's just like I'm okay with Texas being selective rather than just star chasing. And going out and getting Jaden Ott so he can sit on your bench and not do anything is a waste of resources and a waste of a roster spot. So I'd rather them make sure that they're going out and getting a guy that can play for them next year and play a lot. And it seems like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I really like Caden Durham a lot. And I know that he had a hard time at LSU last year because they couldn't run the football, but that offensive line was terrible. So get Caden Durham and get a couple offensive linemen in front of him, pair him with Relique Brown, and we're cooking.
Yeah. No, good. And good shout out there, CB, and Sed Benson. Sed Benson was a beast as a free freshman. Yeah, that good call on that.
He was a beast. Cedric Benson, this picture, I'm turned around. This picture right here. No, that one right there.
That one, I guess. No, but that's, look, I think there's probably still going to be some more names that go in the portal. But I think you start to go down and it does start to drop a little bit more into, okay, these are guys that are fine, but they're not, there's no guarantee. Like we're playing into, and Relique Brown for this is me too. I always will take the world I know versus the world I don't. I'm not going to gamble on that and go, no, I hope that he figures it out. And that's not saying he won't. That's not saying he can't. That's why those scouts for Texas get paid lots and lots of money to try and figure your stuff out. But finding out, you're trying to figure out who's going to come in and really take you, fit into your system, fit in with what you do, understand what's supposed to be going on, be a positive in the huddle, get along with your players. Because that's really, if we want to look at, like, and we'll get into this, which is Parker Livingston in the story today. He goes to Oklahoma, and everybody freaks out. And I'll say personally, not a popular opinion. If you hate Parker Livingston now, you never truly really like Parker Livingston. I think that's crazy to me. Look, I wish him the best. I think he's going to lose at Oklahoma because I don't have a lot of faith in that team to be great, and I don't have a lot of faith in John Mateer to figure it out. But I wish him the best. I liked him as a player before. I agree with you. He's a wide receiver 4 at Texas. I agree with you that he was a guy that could get used and probably should have gotten 1 to 2 targets a game max. And so it's not a huge loss for Texas to lose him. I'm on board with all of that. I'm also don't hate the guy for going to Oklahoma when he wanted to go find a new place. Go there, have fun, do whatever. I don't hold it. I'm not going to root for you anymore, but I also don't have any animosity towards you until you give me a reason to have animosity towards you. And to Oklahoma is not enough for me.
I think that he's given people reasons to have animosity because he lied.
He didn't lie. He phrased it differently. Also, I don't trust the boosters and donors at Texas to tell the truth either. And that's where some of this stuff comes from.
So, you know, if people are getting their panties up, I don't hate Parker Livingston either. Like, I hate that he's going to Oklahoma. But, you know, Texas fans are getting super worked up because their number 4 wide receiver got too big for his britches in the NIL game. And he decided to go chase some money from a team who desperately needs wide receivers and is going to take Texas's number 4 wide receiver and probably make him their number 2 wide receiver, which is going to not work out very well for them, in my opinion. So it is what it is.
But we keep saying NIL on that. If you said, I'm at best going to be not a starter at Texas, at best, not a starter. And at Oklahoma, they want me to be a starter. Then I'd go be a starter. Like,
yeah, I totally agree.
The numbers to me are different, but for me, the reality was he wasn't going to be a starter at Texas anymore. And he didn't want to do that. I totally get that. I think most of these players, like, you get it and you go find a good opportunity for you. And for Oklahoma, if they think that's their answer at number 2 or number 3 or whatever, God bless them. Have fun. I think that we should have a better wide receiver room than that because we want to have a better offense than them. I'm all for that. I didn't like the turnaround of, and not just fans. It was more, there's reporters who talked up Parker Livingston for a year and then told me he sucked at the end of it. And that I don't really appreciate. Like, if you're going to tell me who he was, the same guy who's told me all season, I'd be like, yeah, he's a good player. He was a really good culture guy in the locker room. People really liked him. He's a good guy. Go over there and do it. It's fine. It's college football. It's what it is. We'd all like college football to change and get away from this stuff. We all would. But it doesn't seem to be doing it. And I don't blame one kid for doing something that hundreds of others are doing right now. And look, got a bag, going to be a starter. Go do it, because you aren't going to do it here.
Just don't tell people you got pushed out because you didn't. That's my thing. Like I said, Parker Livingston is a good player. Texas is in on some wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm not worried about wide receiver room.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't understand why people are getting worked up about it. Just don't say that you got pushed out is my deal. It's kind of a bad look, but it is what it is. I don't really deal in what the hard numbers are of what the transaction was for Oklahoma. I think that stuff can kind of be a little, inaccurate at times, but it is what it is.
I this is just be my personal opinion. If I get told I'm a starter and I'm no longer a starter, I'm forced out. That is my opinion. If I believe that I was supposed to be a starter and you tell me you are not good enough to be a starter, I would take that as you telling me to get the hell off the team. That's what I would take it as, especially when I was 22 years old. That's what I would take it as, because you're telling me I'm not good enough and you don't believe I will be next season. That's what you're telling me. That tells me to get out. That's just my opinion. So I get the NIL. It may be completely off base, and he was told, we want you to be a starter, Patrick. We want you to be a starter, Parker, and we want you to we just not going to be offering you as much money. Maybe that's the case, and he thought that was forced out. Maybe that's the case. But I believe if I was told you are not a good enough football player to be a starter at the University of Texas after being a starter at the University of Texas, then I'd be like, cool, you're telling me to leave. You're telling me I'm the reason we didn't win as much. You're telling me that's what I would feel at 22 years old. So I'm just saying, I don't think he lied in it. I think he said exactly what was true, which was he was told, we want to be better at wide receiver than you are. And that to me was a sign that the door is right there. That's all I'm saying. I don't think he's wrong in saying that. I do think that he wanted more money. I agree with that as well. That he said, if you're not going to put me in, then pay me. Show me that you want me here. Show me why you want me here. They went, we're not going to show you we want you here. We're going to tell you that we'd like to have you. But like, if you work at a company for 5 years and then you're expecting to get a promotion, you don't get it, and then they tell you, we're not going to give you a raise either, you might say, all right, I'm looking for another job. Just is what it is. It's business. I agree. So I just don't have the problem with him. That's all. You can have your own opinion. I know mine's probably more unpopular than others, but I'm not saying you're wrong either, because I wasn't in the room. So I can't tell you anybody else was wrong about him saying something else, because I was not in the room.
Yeah. I mean, none of us were in the room except for probably Sark and Chris Jackson and Parker Livingston. So, look, I don't think Parker Livingston would have ended up at Oklahoma if they didn't offer him the best NIL deal and a promise that he would be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Texas was not going to give him the number that he wanted and promise him to be a starter, so he decided to leave.
I agree. I'm not arguing that.
I'm just saying for the people in the chat. If Indiana had offered the same package to him that Oklahoma did, I'm sure he would have ended up at Indiana, because they're national title contenders and Oklahoma's dog shit. But here we are. So let's not hate him for picking who he picked.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't care if, outside of Arch Manning signing with Texas A&M or something crazy stupid like that, I don't think that there's a player on the Texas roster who could go to any school in America and I would hate him for it. Because he's making a decision that's best for him, best for his future. And right now, being a starter and getting $800,000 instead of being a number four wide receiver and getting $400,000 is a better deal.
Of course it is. It's a much better deal. But all right, but this leads me to the question, Matt, I was going to ask you today. We beat around the bush for a long time. But this is the question. I'll ask it to the people in the chat, too. Of what splash, how big of a splash do you need to see from Texas to feel like, okay, we're there? Because I'm with you. We talked about earlier, Matt, about getting the right guys in that fit the system and everything else. That's great, and that's what you want to do. But that was also a much easier pill to swallow after you're in the playoffs. And you're like, we're a guy or two. We're right there. Right? And now it feels like we're maybe a little bit further away. Now we feel like we're a top 15 team, not a top five team. And so that window opened up a little bit more. So that's why the Cam Coleman name comes up so much, because that is a big splash. That's a cannonball in the middle of the pool off the diving board. That is a big splash. How big of a splash now that there is no Jaden Ball? That is now off the table. So it doesn't feel like there's going to be a big splash at running back now. Now, you could still kind of big splash at offensive line. You could definitely do it somewhere place in the defense, have some big splashes. They've done well at defensive line, but it wasn't a problem for us, and we didn't really lose enough at defensive line that it feels like any of that's really going to move the needle, even though I like what they're doing at defensive line. So how big of a splash do you guys need to see in the chat for you, Matt, to make this feel like, okay, all right, I'm ready for next season? That was a splash I needed to see, that this team is ready to go next season, and I feel like we're right back in that picture to be a top five team in the country.
I think Hair of the Dog's right. I think it starts on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You go out, and if I'm a Texas fan, you go out and you get me Andrew Sprague and Jake Guarnera from Michigan, who they're talking to in Michigan today. We're going to visit them after they visited Texas. If you bring me both of those guys, my offensive line is fixed and I'm good. Obviously, you still want to bring in another player along the offensive line, but my starting five, I feel pretty good about, even if Connor Robertson's coming back to be my center, because I've got a big, nasty guard in Guarnera. I've got a big, nasty right tackle in Sprague. You shift Brandon Baker on the inside to guard. Immediate upgrade on the offensive line, and I feel much better about protecting Arch. Obviously, I'd still like to make a splash at running back, and maybe there's a guy who hasn't entered the portal yet who they're going to go after. If not, Caden Durham and Relique Brown, give them to me right now, wrapped up with a bow, and I'm good. Better running back room than we had last year. But I think that the move that Texas needs to get done, if they're going to, from a fan base perspective, really excite everyone and get them like, okay, we're swinging for the fences, it has to be Cam Coleman. And I know that that doesn't fix the issues that you have on the offensive line or in the running game, but for the casual fan, the big name that they're hearing about the most is the one that's going to get them re-bought back in and be like, oh yeah, we're winning a national title next year. So on offense, that's it. I think on defense, linebacker and edge rusher. You're a little thin on the edge room. Like you have a lot of good talent. Obviously Zena Umeozulu and Colin Simmons and Lance Jackson. And, but I think
I think you walked in the back. He's not an idiot. Calm down. It's just maybe hurt some.
But Jaden Woods from Florida would be a huge get. That would be a splash. Damone Wilson from Missouri just entered the portal. He would be a massive splash that would excite people. Quay Rousseau, who could play off-ball linebacker and edge rusher, would be a huge get. But the name that I would really say, okay, this is a big splash on defense, would be Cade Uolave from California. 100-plus tackles with basically 11 games. He played one series against Virginia, missed the rest of the game. Probably would have ended up with about 110, 115 tackles on average had he played in that entire football game. He would instantly give you the best defense in the SEC, in my opinion.
All right. I like that. And that's kind of where it goes for me. I'm about there of like that. And the Cam Coleman one too, it's like, it makes it feel like, what's your elite power, right? You always want to have something that's elite about you. And it makes it feel like, okay, our wide receiver room will be elite next season if you had Cam Coleman and Ryan Wingo and Emmett Moseley and what you put together in that passing game with Arch Manning with another year, and especially if you put that offensive line. It does make you feel like, okay, now there's something that starts to be elite. And then you go, can you get that defense to return to elite levels next season? Then you start to feel like you're starting to stack things up, and you still have to have a running back game. But if your running game's not elite, that's okay. If you can put everything else together around it, but you have to have a run game. So I'm with you, Relique Brown, Caden Durham, and then hoping that Christian Clark continues to play as well as he did in the Michigan game. Hope that you get Derek Cooper, you know, maybe midway through next season to start to pick up the speed and be able to come in some games, you know, maybe where you're nicked up or you need to just keep running the football, maybe a different approach. All of those things is a splash. But yeah, it's kind of looking at it and going, what will make everybody go, okay, it's fine. And I get to, it's a really weird time. And I can tell, like, we're already more amped up in the Texas world. The Texas Twitter is out of control right now because Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M made the playoffs. And even though they were a combined 0-3 in the playoffs, they're acting as if we are not a relevant program anymore. And those programs have surpassed us by 100 miles. And it's, there's no real argument. Like, we had someone come in the chat yesterday and trying to make all the points of why would Cam Coleman go to Texas over Texas Tech. And he leaves out all the things of what a real conversation you could have. Like, no, this is what Texas Tech can offer. And this is what Texas can offer. And this is what Texas A&M can offer. And there's real reasons to go discuss all of those options. And there's positives to all three schools. But to just walk in and go, why would you want to play for Arch Manning? And then you just go, dude, tell me you don't know ball without telling me you don't know ball. It's like, those are the conversations. That's what we've been dealing with on social media as we try to keep up with the portal, is everyone then telling us how terrible we are for rooting for a team that we've rooted for our whole lives. So it's a, yep, it's a rough world right now, and everyone's a little on edge about it. So I get why it's frustrating, because there are so many attacks coming out of everywhere because everyone's looking for the same players. And so now it is, we all just got to calm down and be happy and try and go into it. I know it is a tense time right now with the portal, and I'm hoping for that splash, man, because the splash at least tempers that a little bit. You make some ripples that are your own ripples. Texas then had their own ripples in a little bit. We need to make some with the big splash. And I think you're right. It's like, if we don't get Cam Coleman, it turns into not a waste of an offseason, not anything's going terribly wrong, because you could still improve your team greatly without getting Cam Coleman. But that splash of letting the fan base and believing that there's this extra level of hope, it does really feel right now, at least without the other names that may still come into the portal, that's the one name that really swings the tide of fan trash talking a little bit more.
Yeah, good point here, Randy. Texas recruited Damon Wilson in high school. He signed with Georgia in 2023 as well, before he transferred to Missouri. Does anybody know who Georgia's defensive coordinator was in 2023?
I couldn't even tell you, man.
Oh, it was Will Muschamp.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I think they'll have at least a good conversation with him. That doesn't mean they're going to get him, but I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't at least talk to him, because yeah, he was one of the best edge rushers in the SEC this year. They've got his old defensive coordinator from Georgia, and they've got familiarity with him coming out of high school. They obviously have really good history with edge rushers over the last couple of years, with Colin Simmons and Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell and all these guys. So I assume they'll be in the conversation.
All right, Matt, why don't we take our first break? We come back, we're going to get into a little Texas basketball. We'll keep portal conversations. We're keeping our eye on the portal as well to see if there's any updates. Matt is fingers on the pulse, man. It's fingers on the pulse there. So we will keep up with all of that. We'll get into our Overreactions Tuesday that we do here every week. A little NFL talk by the end. There was a huge firing that happened today in the NFL, and several other firings that happened yesterday. So we'll get into all of that and continue on with the show. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we always love talking with you as well, as we continue on here on Open Gym, here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics. But more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
You see COVID everywhere. It's that personal level of just feeling like it's a personal family interaction.
The customer service, it's It's impeccable. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced buying a car.
Over the 30 years that I've been buying cars from them, I feel like I know them and they know me.
Covert's done an amazing job of making me feel valued. If you purchase a vehicle and you want to feel like you're part of a family, join the Covert family.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
BK here for Olipop. Man, this stuff is the game changer of all game changers. Their slogan is a new kind of soda, and that's exactly what it is. You get that same great soda taste, but Olipop is actually good for you. Inside of every can, a blend of 7 unique botanicals, plant fibers, and prebiotics. You're getting 9 grams of fiber in every can, only 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and man, the flavor is absolutely there. Classic soda flavors like cola, root beer, lemon lime, and Dr. Goodwin, that's their version of a Dr. Pepper, and some other great flavors as well, the grape, the cream soda, the cherry cola, it's all fantastic. I'm telling y'all, Olipop tastes just like the soda you grew up sipping, but with the added benefits of microbiome and digestive health support as well. Pick up Olipop at HEB, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, and Costco all throughout the Austin area and the state of Texas. And head over to drinkolipop.com. Use the promo code TEXAS20 for a discount on your first purchase. It's Olipop, a new kind of soda.